Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Waiver Wire Week 12. Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P, Joe P. Zapia. That is Dan Harris. And fresh off kid number two is the Kyle Yates. And as always, it's you joining us here for week 12 on the waiver wire. And in the words of comic book guy from The Simpsons, worst waiver wire ever. This is terrible. I can't imagine a worse week for waiver wire. And yet at the same time, gentlemen, I feel like it's the best week because everyone's so busy. People are traveling for the holidays. This is that one week, Dan Harris, where I feel like it's okay to just pocket what you got left in the fab. But not everybody is that lucky right now. And there are some guys out there that might be able to help some teams. But overall, this is certainly not the stellar waiver wire week that I think we were all hoping for in week 12.
I feel really bad that sort of we come in here half the time. We're like, this week sucks, man. This week's legitimately terrible. Like, we were joking about it before we started. And this is one where if you need to put in a significant bid for one of the players that are widely available, then, man, you're in a lot of trouble right now. This is just not a week where people are going to help you. Nevertheless, there are players out there, and you never know what position something's going to be in, so we're here to provide advice, but yeah, this is not the best week.
I feel like we try to find the silver lining, and typically, I want to say one of these weeks, I don't know if it was week 9 or week 8, something like that, we were like, this isn't the greatest week, all this stuff, but for the most part, we're pretty positive. Yates, I can't put a happy face on this one. I just can't do it. I'm really trying. I'm looking around. There's some players worth talking about and some guys we're going to get into, Yates, that have, I think, some long-term potential appeal to as things go on for the season, because we all know that very end of the season gets very weird. Guys get shut down with injuries. Guys get more opportunities because they want to get evaluated going into next year if they're going to be on the roster. But in terms of this week impact, especially with, you know, six teams playing on Thursday, it's going to be kind of wild out there.
It's crazy, too. And especially, too, because you had guys like CeeDee Lamb most likely not going to play on Thursday. AJ Brown went down with an injury. Michael Carter went down with an injury, too. So it's like, OK, there are some teams who need replacement options. And then you look at the waiver wire. And typically when that happens, it's like the next man up kind of thing, right? No, like Cedric Wilson. No, like, sorry, spoiler alert. We're not going to be talking about Cedric Wilson. At least I'm not. And then
I am.
No
one. I was going to say that was the one thing I had mapped out for today that we were going to talk about. So now we're really screwed. I don't know what we're going
to. Yeah,
do
your
now.
Plan to talk about Cedric Wilson for 20 minutes now just went done.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's just the options here. There's not really great replacement options, but we are going to do our best to walk through the available options and try to make sure that your fantasy season stays afloat here heading into week 12.
And as always here on the program, the show is powered by My Playbook's Waiver Assistant, which is going to help all of you kind of, dig through the muck here, trying to find some useful things. And look, you know, we say this now, but hasn't it just been so 2021? Hasn't it been so Raven that every time we think something's terrible, it ends up being great, and everything something's great, it ends up being terrible? Just go back and look at the Cowboys and Chiefs game, just for
I want you to go back and watch it.
But the waiver assistant is over at fantasypros.com/myplaybook. It displays the ad drop scenarios that will improve your roster, help you out, show you the players that can help not only your team, but also some other teams too, in case you want to block somebody else from getting a player. And of course, you can only get it over at fantasypros.com/myplaybook. I personally love using my playbook. I tell you all the time, autopilot, super helpful. The waiver assistant is very helpful as well. And I needed it in the worst way this past week to help me out. And don't forget also, we got our giveaway going on right now. So you can get ahead of that over at fantasypros.com/contest. All you have to do now is just subscribe to the YouTube channel. It is so simple. You subscribe to our YouTube channel, click that little bell for the magical notifications every time a piece of glorious content drops here at Fantasy Pros, and you submit a screenshot of that to fantasypros.com/contest. And guess what, boys and girls? You can be getting an autographed Chris Godwin jersey. It may or may not be the one he's wearing tonight in Monday Night Football. I cannot say one way or another, but it could be. But again, you can only get involved at fantasypros.com/contest. And to subscribe to our YouTube channel, head over to youtube.com/fantasypros. Now that we've gotten that out of the way, and Yates said that I can't talk about Cedric Wilson, I guess we'll have to start with the running backs. I don't know what else we're going to do, but let's try.
Top waiver pickups.
Dan Harris, who is at the top of your board for week 12 in the NFL to spend some free agent acquisition budget on at the running back position?
Pretty much no one. But if you need a running back and you have to pick someone up, Ty Johnson, yay. I mean, look, Michael Carter is probably going to miss some time. As we record this, unless I missed something this morning, you guys, we don't know anything about the ankle injury that knocked him out of yesterday's game. But I heard whispers of high ankle somewhere around it, right? So you have to assume he's not going to be up. They face the Texans. That's always a spot that you want to attack. And again, once he went out, it was a little bit like Tevin Coleman was running downs and Ty Johnson was passing downs. And again, with Johnson factoring in all those weeks with Mike White, there was no Tevin Coleman. So maybe this is Tevin Coleman like stepping in, and maybe he's the more valuable guy. But if you're the Jets and Michael Carter needs to miss time, like, what benefit is it to you? It's a team starting Joe Flacco as I say that. So perhaps I should rethink that. But what benefit is it to you to give Tevin Coleman, a 28-year-old running back, more of a look, as opposed to Ty Johnson, who's a pretty decent football player, more of the look? And regardless, he'll get the passing downs work. I don't know who's going to be under center, which is why this is such a weak recommendation right now. But Ty Johnson, if you need somebody, he'd be the guy who I would go after. And it's like minimal amount of fab at this point. Like, you're like 5% if you're desperate for a running back or something like that. But of all the running backs widely available, Joe, he's the guy who I guess I would fall into and pick up this week.
All right. Ringing endorsement of Ty Johnson. And actually, Johnson's a player I fought for a few times in the full PPR because he was catching the football, and he looked pretty good running the football at times. But Michael Carter clearly was the guy that they anointed, and rightfully so, they had spent the draft capital in him. Now, for you, Yates, when you look at this board, who is your top of the list running back for waiver wire in week 12?
Yeah, sitting there at number one is Ty Johnson for me as well. And it is for a lot of the same reasons Dan mentioned. You know, you just assume that he's going to be the next guy up there in New York. I guess, like Dan alluded to, they're starting Joe Flacco, so the assumption might not be 100%. So yeah, Ty Johnson is at the top of the list just because of the other options that are behind him. But and again, the matchup up against Houston, but we're talking 5% fab bid, and that is truly if you are desperate. So if you're in need at the running back position, this is really not the week for you.
No, it's not. I have Ty Johnson on my list too. He's my third guy. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to have a little fun here today. And this is clearly just a visual thing of watching Thursday Night Football this past week of Quadre Allison, who got activated off, I think it was the practice squad. And I've been waiting all year to see a running back not named Cordell Patterson have any sort of burst while running for the Atlanta Falcons. And the offensive line is not good with the Falcons. However, Allison looked good. He looked spry. He looked like he could actually bring a little something to this offense. And had a little bit of energy, which is also something I think the Falcons lack quite a bit. Now, if I'm the coaching staff, and I am not Arthur Smith, at least right now, he hasn't hired me as offensive coordinator. I'm looking at Allison and saying, maybe this guy can give us a little bit of spark here in the running game. We've got literally nothing else to lose against Jacksonville this week except another game. And this is a game they should theoretically win. I think they are a better football team. Dan and I just discussed this on the Betting Pro show, right? I think the Atlanta Falcons are still a better football team overall than the Jacksonville Jaguars. But I think Allison's this guy that I think maybe for a buck you throw on there and you get him. And you see what happens over these next few weeks, because Patterson, I think, is going to be needed more in the wide receiving game with the wide receivers they have remaining after Calvin Ridley's gone. And I also think that Mike Davis, we've seen enough. Wayne Gallman, we know who he is. Let's find out who Quadre Allison is. Let's find out. Now, I'll probably never see him again. That being said, Dan Harris, who is your number two this week when you're looking at the waiver wire for running backs and how much you want to spend?
So much. I want to blow all my fab on all these guys. I want to blow no fab on any of these people. But Latavius Murray, not going crazy with him. Number two here for me, Latavius Murray. The thing I'll say about Allison, Joe, is just like, I don't know, man. Like, not like I want to go to the Jets for fantasy production for running backs.
I was like, but, didn't you just talk about Ty Johnson for the last 5 minutes?
You are not wrong. So I cannot make that argument. The one thing I'll say about Allison is I just don't know, like, what, you know, of course,
no, none of us know. This right. is a pure instinctual football pickup here, which you could turn around and pick up for a buck.
Yeah.
And might be something, or you could turn around and drop them by, you know, by next Monday and say, what the hell with it.
Ready for my backhanded compliment? I mean, Allison is no worse than anybody else who's available on the waiver our week this week. So whatever. The reason I will go to Latavius Murray is because he did step in and have a role. I think he got 10 carries in that game, you know, and it was a weird game, right? Like, it's very difficult to draw conclusions with Huntley sort of under center. Joe, we were talking about, again, on the Betting Pro show, like, we assume Lamar Jackson is going to come back here. Not a great matchup this week necessarily against the Browns, but I do think this is something where the Ravens have wanted to have two running backs carry the load forever, right? Like, that's what their plan was. That's what it was coming in, which is why we liked, you know, Gus Edwards as sort of the RB2, right? Before the injury, of course, to J.K. Dobbins. And even when, you know, Dobbins went down, we're like, well, Edwards will split time, you know, blah, blah. So in a perfect scenario, they still want to run the ball as much as they're not quite as run heavy as they have been in past years. They're throwing the ball a lot more and they have weapons now with Rashad Bateman coming up, giving them that real third weapon in the passing game. But you saw they want to run the ball. And yes, I think we can probably justifiably conclude that now Murray has lost his 1A role to Devontae Freeman, who is going to be the 1A. But as the 1B role in the Baltimore offense, like, that's a role that can be useful if you're in a pinch. And again, we are talking about a terrible waiver wire week and a terrible week for running backs. But in a terrible week, for me, I'm going to go with Murray, who now I can feel probably pretty comfortable will be in the relatively like double digit touch range most weeks on a team that can run the ball. So that's good enough for me to spend a very, Joe, as you asked, the amount of fab, minimal amount. I mean, nobody's going
a whopping
over 5.
2.5%.
I'm going that's like 3. Like, we can go 3 to 5%. That's basically it. But again, the one thing also that I'll add about Murray is where there we go. Look at that. Every time, Joe. This is the second straight podcast. Where could she be going every day? But you know I'm still married whenever the garage door opens, because she obviously comes back.
She always comes back.
So the other thing I will say about Latavius Murray is, in addition to the fact that he's a guy who you could potentially start, right? Like, double digit, like in a low end sort of flex way, he does carry that insurance policy value, right? Where if now something happens to Devontae Freeman, Murray will go back to the 1A role. That's a role that factors in around the goal line. That's somebody who should be rostered, I think. But again, you should spend a minimal amount of fab on it to find out, and or let fab run and then just pick them up off waivers for me.
Dan, you very astutely hit every single point that I was going to make about Latavius Murray, who is also my number two. Therefore, I will not speak of it again. Instead, I'll go over to you, Yates, and ask you who is your second ranked running back off the waiver wire for week 12.
I'm like in awe of Dan right now. The fact that he talked for like 3.5 minutes awesome. About Latavius Murray. When I was just like, number two option is Latavius Murray for me, and it's because he's getting carries, and that's pretty much it. So the fact that you talked for 3.5 minutes about Latavius Murray, well done, sir.
Yeah, and Lev Bell's gone and all those things. Like, I mean, Dan's right. There's insurance. there's minimal carry volume that he's got already. And the theory is that it's better when Lamar Jackson's back. And that is a true theory, I believe. I don't think that's a theory. I think that's just a fact. So, Dan, you kind of nailed every point there on Murray.
Well, as Yates knows from podcasting with me for a long time, my general philosophy is why say 10 words when 600 will do the same trick? So, look, this is a waiver wire show, guys. Like, we have to understand that fantasy managers are out there, and there are a lot of people who are desperate or in 16-team leagues and stuff like that. And look, I'm sitting here with Ryan Tannehill as my quarterback in a 12-team league, and there's nobody available on waiver wires, and I'm looking at Taylor Heineke right now, and I'm like, maybe that'll work for me this coming week. So you never know the situation that people are going to be in, and I do think that Murray is a guy who should be rostered and could have some value. So there you go. A whopping 3% on the guy. Go get him.
There you go. All right, so Murray is the number two for all of us here, so everybody should run to the waiver wire because we agree on that. Ty Johnson is my third guy. After that, you've got the two running backs in Houston. You got David Johnson, Rex Burkhead. You got Dontrell Hilliard, who's getting some work for the Tennessee backfield.
Where did that come from, by the way?
Bro, that's where we are. It's week 12. Dontrell Hilliard is now in the conversation. Tevin Coleman, who I do fear. You know, this is the reason why Ty Johnson wasn't my number one. It's just because I fear that Tevin Coleman is going to get all the run there. And that just irks me personal on a personal level. It upsets me. Yep. And really, I don't know. There's nothing else here. So, Dan, since you get paid by the word here on the show, I'd like to know, can you please give us something else here that you might see that you think worth investing in for this week in terms of running backs?
Let me give you 4,000 words on my next running back pick. I will say that the third guy for me is Tevin Coleman, and I do think that there is a plausible path for Tevin Coleman to actually be a valuable guy. Now, this requires a couple things. Number one, Michael Carter may play next week. We don't know right now with it, but I think Robert Saleh not saying anything about the injury afterwards probably means not great. And again, the whispers of the high ankle. You said it, Joe. There is a possibility that we get here and Tevin Coleman is the more valuable back. It's certainly not above the Jets to do the incorrect thing. And you look at their schedule, Houston, then Philadelphia gives up a lot of points to running backs. I mean, if Tevin Coleman comes out and he's like the primary running down guy, he can be fairly valuable in that role in the next couple of matchups. Then New Orleans fine, then Miami, then Jacksonville. Like, not the worst schedule here for running backs for the Jets going forward. So he is a guy, again, dabble in the free agent market. So he would be my next guy sort of going forward. After that, yeah, it's Hilliard, it's Breida, it's Burkhead, it's Allison, it's Johnson, all of them lumped in the, man, if you need these guys, I feel really bad for you at this moment. But that's basically where I am. I'd pick up Johnson, I'd pick up Murray, I'd pick up Coleman, or all for minimal fab. After that, I think we're beyond the point where anybody can really help you.
Yates, would you like to make a case for Tevin Coleman or any Houston running back or anybody else who's left in this pile?
Make a case? No. Okay. But I will talk about Rex Burkhead as my number three option, just based on the fact of, you look at the game script here for the, you know, next week, the New York Jets versus the Houston Texans. That actually should be pretty close. And so I think that in that instance, Rex Burkhead will see some work here, and he didn't look terrible. So I will put Rex Burkhead there at number three, and that's terrible in quotations. So yeah, Rex Burkhead, I mean, any of these guys, you have Ty Johnson, Latavius Murray, they're fine for 5%, 3% fab bits, and then the rest of the list, you let waivers run, and you just take whoever's left because you're in an absolute pinch.
If I told you Rex Burkhead had 18 carries this week, you would think, oh, wow, okay, what's the yardage number? It was 40.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's better than David Johnson. It's 13 for 18.
The bar's not very high, you know, but
hey,
yes.
Guys, should we talk about Dontrell Hilliard in the fact that if McNichols is out, if every pass catcher for the Titans, right, is out because A.J. Brown, and I just saw from our Fantasy Bros news desk, again, you get alert for every player on your team, especially. So I got that where x-rays on his ribs, which PS didn't know we were dealing with a rib injury. Chest, I guess, is the same, but shoulder, but x-rays on his ribs were negative according to Rappaport. So hopefully he can play this weekend against a very tough defense in the Patriots, Joe, as you and I talked about. Mm-hmm. But if you've got Brown out, Marcus Johnson, I'm sure, is going to miss this game, right? With that hamstring strain. Julio Jones is still on IR. Maybe Jeremy McNichols is still in concussion protocol. I don't know. Maybe he factored in pretty heavily into the passing game yesterday. Am I crazy basically for entirely overlooking him?
Yes. Yes, okay. You are. I think you're crazy. Look, here's the thing. He gets a bye in 2 weeks in the Patriots this week. That's not the great, like, I want to spend a lot of money on this guy. I mean, what are the chances of him being productive? And you're right. There's a lot of subtraction here that maybe there's desperation. So I guess if you're in a 14-team league or something like that, yes, that is a viable player you could pick up and consider it flex if you've got, you know, Kansas City's on a bye this week, Arizona's on a bye this week. So there's some pieces there, obviously, that are quite useful, less so on the Arizona side of late, I can tell you that. But Yates, do you think that Hilliard is somebody that, it, maybe in a 12-team league that people should be looking at, or is that just kind of a waste of a fab?
Yeah, not in a 12-team. If you're in a 14 or 16, then I think it's worth at least considering. But also, like, this Tennessee offense, if they don't have A.J. Brown and Marcus Johnson, like, what are they going to do on offense? Are they going to even be able to move the ball? So it's one of the things where you're starting Dontrell Hilliard and you're hoping for garbage time production, and that's really it. So that's the way that I'm viewing Hilliard this week. I've got him at 6 in my running back rankings. Really not someone that I'm looking to add.
Starting to feel like back-to-back shutouts might be realistic for the Patriots defense. If everything that you just said, Dan, comes to fruition in the negative side, that's going to be an ugly day for Ryan Tannehill. Let me tell you, that's going to be tough.
I'm concerned as somebody who rosters Tannehill, which is why I'm really looking forward to our waiver wire discussion about quarterbacks in, you know, 10 minutes.
Well, no spoilers. We'll get to them in a second. Before we do, I want to tell everybody about Tick Pick, because NFL stadiums are back. People are there. They're wearing all kinds of crazy outfits. I saw an amazing guy who had a full suit on of purple at the Vikings game with an amazing hat and then Viking horns coming out of it. But the hat was like a fedora kind of hat. That is style. And that's the kind of style that you might be able to get as well as you head out this year to see NFL games. But looking ahead to next year, TickPick is giving away 5 huge in-season ticket packages for 2022. You have 5 chances to win 2022 season tickets to your favorite NFL team with a drawing every single month. At each package is valued at $3,000. And you can enter today by going to tickpick.com/pros. Again, that's tickpick.com/pros. And TickPick has partnered along with Zip, which is fantastic service to pay later. Basically, you can pay out installments for it. So you select Zip at checkout for anything that you pick up at TickPick, and you split your ticket purchase into 4 installments without any service fees. Because we all know service fees is like paying for a whole extra person who's not even there at the game with you to be there. I hate the fees. So do you. TickPick is taking care of that. So download TickPick and the app and start saving today. And if you download the app and use that promo code PROS today, you get $10 off your first order when you select Zip at checkout. So again, head over to tickpick.com/pros and get involved today. And maybe next year, you'll be hanging out with that cool guy from the Vikings game with the Viking horns coming out of that cool hat. So speaking of some of the fun things going on at NFL stadiums, I guess we can maybe pretend to have some fun here with something from the waiver wire with wide receiver. I think there's a few interesting names, but certainly nobody that I want to break the bank on. Yates, I'm going to start with you for the wide receivers. Who is your number one at the free agent waiver wire wide receiver line this week in week 12?
All right, I'm going to go Marquez Valdes-Scantling. That was my number one.
Because he actually caught a ball.
Yes.
He actually caught it in his hands.
You look at MVS, and I think in the absence of Aaron Jones, we saw the target share at least open up a little bit here, where Marquez Valdes-Scantling actually played essentially the same amount of snaps that he did in week 11 as he did in week 10. But he went from 2 targets to 10 targets this past week. And we know that based on his speed, he has the ability to be a valuable option as a flex option, right? He has the ability to pop off and have a big play here or there. And that has value for fantasy football. However, I am saying MVS here is my number one waiver wire option at the wide receiver position. And I'm saying 5% FABID. And he is a bench stash for right now, unless you were in a deep league. Otherwise, he's a flex option at that point. He goes up against the Rams next week. This is not a matchup that I think is going to allow a ton of big plays, but in the absence of Aaron Jones, he's at least intriguing to me, where I can add MVS here and see what happens, because he does have the big play potential.
I like this call here, Yates. And Dan and I just talked on the BP show about what are you going to do here against the Rams, right? You're going to have Ramsey, hopefully at least slowing down Devontae Adams. No one could stop him. But somebody else has got to step up here, because you don't have Aaron Jones healthy, and A.J. Dillon's a nice player, but you got to have other pieces. You need MVS to step up and have the kind of game where he actually comes through and actually catches those big deep passes that are thrown at his way, which is something he struggled with. I have MVS at 3rd on my list this week because, again, 1 week does not make me confident in him being able to do that more than 1 week. But it's a really good point. I mean, you had the 10 targets there. He did catch a whopping 4 of the 10 that went his way. But still... it's the big play MVS that can have the difference maker. Dan, do you have MVS on your list? And if not, who is your number one?
I mean, he's on my list because he's there, but he is not somebody who I am picking up for a couple of reasons. The 10 targets was nice, but there are a few things. Number one, basically, you'd have to want to start him for me anyway this week, which I can't imagine I'm going to rank him as a starter, right, against the Rams. And then after that, it's a bye. And so it's just like, you know, I don't know. Again, I'm not excited about anybody. So you say Marquez Valdes-Scantling, I'm like, fine, that's okay with me. For me, it's a guy who's still pretty widely available, maybe because he's coming off his bye. And it is Van Jefferson. And part of what I like about this is that now that Odell Beckham Jr. is there, people are like, oh, darn, like Van Jefferson, done. But we were excited about Van Jefferson when the team got rid of DeSean Jackson. Like the fact that Robert Woods was out was something that said, oh, wow, okay, now we're like our interest is really peaked here. But we were interested before Robert Woods got injured. So even if you want to say that OBJ is going to take the Robert Woods thing, that still leaves a very, very interesting Van Jefferson out there in the role that was vacated by DeSean Jackson. He gets 7-8 targets every single game. Like, I know he's not going crazy lighting it up, but personally, I will take that in probably a shootout with the Packers, an easier defense to pass against than the Rams, generally speaking. But I will take that long-term as well going forward as a guy who I think you can get away with as a flex most weeks going forward. So Jefferson is the wide receiver and maybe the only wide receiver personally that I really want to go out there and pick up. And he's rostered in 45.7% of leagues. So he's pretty widely available given the bye.
I like having Van Jefferson on a roster bench. I think he's just a good investment because you don't know what else is going to happen with OBJ. He's a very volatile stock to begin with. And if you go back even last year to the playoffs, Dan, you heard a lot of positive buzz out of Van Jefferson. You saw him have some good moments there for the Rams in the playoffs. And everybody was glowing about this kid and how hard he works and all that. And you're starting to see that happen a little bit here this year. And I'm with you. I think Van Jefferson's a piece that I don't want to overspend on necessarily, but if he's still floating out there and it looks like from the roster percentage of 45 he is, he's definitely worth stashing on your bench. I would not spend more than a few bucks on him. But for me, the guy at the top is a Jet. All the Jets at the top of this week on the Waiver Wire show. That should tell you everything you need to know. It's Jameson Crowder. Yay, Jameson Crowder. 6 of 7 for 44 and a touchdown, a whopping amount of points there of 13 in half PPR. But look, Crowder with an experienced quarterback in Flacco, I think Crowder is a guy that you can look at as a potential flex start against Houston next week. And I'm not trying to look farther than that on this waiver wire. Could I, if I was missing a couple wide receivers, if I had some injuries to some of the guys we've already talked about on the show? Yeah, I could see myself throwing Crowder out there as a flex in a full point PPR and him coming away with 14 points and me going, yay, hooray. I would probably spend about 3% of my budget on it. I wouldn't spend too much. But the fact that he even had a touchdown, I think, was glorious. I saw Elijah Moore have a big game. But to me, Dan, I think Crowder is a guy that you know what you're getting with him. And I think I have a better idea what I'm getting with him with Flacco than I do with Zach Wilson. Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about DraftKings. NFL fans, are you hungry for a big win this week? DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, has you covered. New customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game, and if they do, you win $200 in free bets. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. It's that simple. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, DraftKings won't leave you empty-handed. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contest. DraftKings is giving all new customers free shots at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use the promo code FANTASYPROS. Bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game and win $200 in free bets. If they win, you win with promo code FANTASYPROS this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only, new customers only, minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required, one per customer, restrictions apply, see DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details, gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. And now, back to the action. Who is your number two, Yates, on your list of wide receivers this week?
Who knew that it was going to take Cam Newton to unlock DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson to an extent? Robbie Anderson at number two for me on my waiver wire list here at the wide receiver position, and it is just purely that he's actually starting to move back into relevancy, right? And it's not necessarily that he's moving back into what we thought he was going to be preseason, or but he's just starting to inch back into the conversation of he's actually doing something here with Cam Newton as his quarterback. So I'm adding Robbie Anderson kind of in the same way that I'm adding MVS, where I'm adding Robbie Anderson and I'm stashing him on my bench. I'm not looking to play him this next week unless I'm absolutely desperate, but I do think that he's worth adding. And we're seeing that too with the rostership percentage, where he's at 51.7% across all platforms, where we say, okay, people are starting to at least, or maybe they never even dropped him, but they're starting to at least buy back into Robbie Anderson because he can be productive. But again, it's just so weird, and it's a microcosm of 2021 that it was Cam Newton as a passer that is getting Robbie Anderson back to relevancy. So he's at number two for me, but again, we're talking a minimal fab bid.
Yeah, I struggle here with this one because to me, when we go through our questions here on the waiver wire every week at Fantasy Pros for all the featured articles here, this was the one guy to me that I think could be a huge waste because I look at Cam Newton and I see a guy who doesn't have the same arm strength that he used to when he first came into league. I don't think he's ever been quite the same after the shoulder surgery. I really don't. He hasn't quite had the same zip on the football. And Robbie Anderson, I think, is the guy that stretches the field. Like, I think that was what he used to be with the Jets, and to a certain extent, what he was with Teddy Bridgewater last year, even though Bridgewater's deep ball is not exactly the best in the league. But this is where I kind of struggle because I think, Yates, you're right. In theory, it should be starting to go towards that direction. It feels like DJ Moore is very productive. That's great. But Robbie Anderson and Cam Newton, is there enough in the passing game to even get excited about? I can understand adding him, but are you excited about him, Dan? Because I am not. I am not excited about Robbie Anderson along with Cam Newton. I understand what Yates is saying, and he makes a good point there on one end, but the other end of it that I'm going to make the counterpoint is that I just don't feel as though Cam Newton is the guy who can really unlock Robbie Anderson. I think he can unlock anybody who can run a route for 5 yards. That I agree with. But outside of that, Dan, where do you stand on Robbie Anderson?
I like that I'm teasing it. I know he sort of put breakout in quotes and stuff like that, but I like that we're having a breakout for Robbie Anderson as 6 targets, 5 catches and 30 yards and 6 targets, 4 catches and 37 yards last week, admittedly with the touchdown. I have Anderson fourth on my list just because we have seen Robbie Anderson productive in the past. And so when you've seen it in the past, okay, maybe there's a chance. I think for me, the biggest thing is I'm not going to rank him as a starter this week, certainly against Miami, because I don't think Robbie Anderson's at that point. I mean, this game doesn't basically be like, yeah, let's go start Robbie Anderson. It's a little bit more of a long-term play, and then they have a bye. And it's just like, I don't know. Like, do I think, Joe, that it's possible that Newton can unleash Robbie Anderson? Yes, if the bar is Sam Darnold and PJ Walker sort of being there. I do think that there's a path for maybe Anderson to be a deep league flex. So again, I'm fourth on my list. I'm not totally avoiding him. And the guys above him, you guys are going to really laugh. And Yates has already basically said, I refuse to talk about the guy. But there are two guys who I think might be able to help you this weekend if you're in a pinch, and I'll probably have ranked higher than Anderson. And that is, Joe, number two, Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, of course, great player, best player ever, and Cedric Wilson, who I have there. And I will very briefly, Yates, make the case for both. The case for Nick Westbrook-Ikhina is the Joe, as we like to go, show our age, officer and a gentleman. I got nowhere else to go. That's basically where we are. If A.J. Brown has to miss time, and again, the reports are that he's avoided significant injury, let's hope, and hopefully he can play. If he plays, it might actually be better for Westbrook-Ikhina, so it'll take some of that defensive attention. But he's going to be the number one option, and he got 8 targets and 7 catches and 107 yards and half the time looked like the only guy who knew which way to turn on a route. So he would be the number one, even in a horrible matchup that I wouldn't want to attack against the Patriots, but it's opportunity. And Wilson, who just looked like his job was to actually not catch footballs as opposed to catch footballs in this most recent game, we know now it's a Thursday game, Joe. We have talked about it. You have no Amari Cooper. There's almost certainly going to be no CeeDee Lamb.
Right.
All of a sudden, Michael Gallup, who was on IR a couple of weeks ago, we were like, yeah, stash him. Let's see what he could do. He's like, okay, you're like a solid wide receiver too now going into this game. There's got to be other options besides Dalton Schultz. That could be Cedric Wilson for me. So he's number three for me, slightly ahead of Robbie Anderson. But I don't want to add anybody, and I just want to close my eyes and add Van Jefferson and then run.
Well, let's talk about that, because I feel like the way we're talking about this is, why spend more than you have to? These guys are all the same. to a certain extent. There's really no needle mover here with any of these guys. So this is one of those weeks that I think when you're making up your waiver wire claims, that you just list everybody at $2. And then whoever guy you get at $2, that's the guy. And you rank them in the order you like, but you don't spend $5 on this guy and $4 on this guy. And no. It's just $2. And you rank them and you say, and you're just happy if you get your first or your second choice. That being said, too, Yates, on a week where somebody has a waiver wire system, right, and not fab, would you be blowing your first, you know, your waiver wire priority, as it were, on any of these guys that we're going to talk about today?
It depends on how desperate you are, you know, obviously. So if you have a need at the running back position and you need to pick up, you know, Latavius Murray or Ty Johnson, then sure, I'm fine doing that. But just to ensure that I have someone to fill the running back spot on my roster. But otherwise, no, I'd probably be looking to avoid it because this is just such a weak at the waiver wire position that I'm really looking to avoid it and avoid spending that number one priority if I can.
I want to add something. Hold on. I don't have it ranked this way, of course, in terms of my overall priority. But if there was a quote-unquote player that's available out there that I have the number one waiver priority and I'm in a must-win situation and I'm not, like, desperate to fill a hole, it could be the Bears defense going on, right? Again, so I'm like, we'll get there. But and I don't have it ranked that way as my top pickup. But right. I did it this past week, guys, because I don't know about you. I hold on to that waiver position, right? And I sit there and I'm like, I don't really want to go to the back of the line to pick up this guy, whatever. In the meantime, the guys who are sitting there with waiver position 7 through 12 are just constantly picking up guys and getting there. And yeah, they don't have the top guy. So when the real good guy comes out, they'll miss out on that. But in the meantime, they're adding players each and every week because they're willing to burn through their waiver wire priority. I did it this past week on the Dolphins defense because eventually I was just like, I really need defense. Didn't work out that great, but whatever. But that would actually be the one player, even though I don't have him ranked as the top actual player to add, the Chicago Bears DSD might be the one that I'd be like, you know what, I'll burn my waiver priority to pick up that guy.
All right, that's fair. I think that's fair, especially if you're desperate for a win, and that's going to give you an edge. I don't have a problem with that at all, but I'm saving number one priority this week if I have it. I am not going to blow it on anybody. Unless, like I said, Dan brings up a good point, and so does Yates. Desperation, I get it. But even desperation for me with guys like Murray, guys like Crowder, even like some of the guys we're talking about as our number one guys, like, I don't know, man. I think I save it for another week of injuries and see what happens and who pops off next, because 13 and 14 could be better weeks here on the waiver wire as we get closer and closer to the playoffs. And then that's when you really need to be able to either pick up somebody or even more so block somebody from adding somebody else. Yates, let's go back to you here and back to wide receivers for a moment. Tell me about the rest of your guys here, how you have them ranked and how much you want to spend on them. If there is a tier, the clear tier 2 and 3 or 4 or 5, however that works out for you.
Yeah. So I've got Jamison Crowder that we talked about earlier. I've got him at 3, Van Jefferson at 4. They're all kind of fall into the same bucket for me. And then Russell Gage at 5, because I think that he can at least provide you something next week up against Jacksonville. But then the guy that I did want to at least talk about here is Tre'Quan Smith. You look at Tre'Quan Smith and his production here recently. Now he goes up against Buffalo this next week, so I'm not necessarily looking at him as a very, very solid option for this week, but he's at least intriguing to me because you look at his last 4 performances. He's finished as the wide receiver 30, and this is in half PPR. Wide receiver 30, wide receiver 40, wide receiver 19, wide receiver 32. Like, he is producing and is at least a valuable flex play for lineups. Now, again, I don't know if that's going to be the case here up against Buffalo this next week, but I'm at least intrigued with Tre'Quan Smith to the point where I might be looking to add him in the same vein of, like, we get past him, it's Kendrick Bourne, it's Laviska Shenault. Like, okay, with Shenault, do we see him move into that slot role with Jamal Agnew most likely banged up and missing this next week? You know, Nelson Aguilar, all these guys fall into the same tier where it's kind of the same thing we talked about with running back. It's like, I'll set the same, I'll just let waivers run, and whoever is still sitting there, then I'll just pick those guys up, you know, if I have a need as a flex play for this next week. So it is a really underwhelming waiver wire. We've talked about that nonstop, but I did want to at least mention Tre'Quan Smith and get your guys' opinion on him because he has been producing here and we just haven't really been talking about it.
Yeah, Dan, what are your thoughts on Tre'Quan? I've got him at 6 right now. He's behind Jefferson and MVS for me, but it's not a great matchup, but you can certainly see a world where he is productive and maybe, you know, in the playoff time, somebody that, as you make that playoff push, somebody else under flex consideration.
I want to give a shout out to D-Bro, you know, a friend of the podcast, who made the case very recently for Tre'Quan Smith and made a good case for it. And I'm really glad that Yates brought him up because I do think that he is somebody who is intriguing. And if he had a better matchup, in this coming week, I think he'd be much more of a priority. But again, I talked many times on this podcast over the last 2 years about how I look at running backs as more of a who can give me the most immediate impact and wide receivers who can give me the most long-term impact. But we're a little bit past the long-term impact part right. of things right now, right at this point. If you're picking up one of these guys here, which is why I have Westbrook, Akina, and Cedric Wilson so high, I think you're probably doing it on more of a one-week thing. And it's going to be real tough for me to start Traquan Smith on Thanksgiving this week against Buffalo. But that being said, if you're in a good position and your wide receiving core is a little weak and you don't need somebody for this week and you can go long term, it's a great point. I have Smith sixth. If he had a better matchup this week, he'd mm-hmm. probably be like third, you know, maybe even second for this week, because I think there's potential.
It's crazy too, because he's only 3.4% rostered, yeah. you know, yep. so mm-hmm. it's like, and it's because of the perception of Traquan Smith, where we've been talking about him for how, like, the past 3 years of this guy's yeah. going to do something, he's going to do something, and he just hasn't. And even earlier on this year, we were talking about him, and now he's finally doing something, but we haven't really been paying attention to it, or at least noticed. I did want to at least point it out.
And no, I think the good point about it, by the way, I'm sorry, Joe, I didn't mean to interrupt, is that he's the lead guy there. Like Marquez Callaway, like the guy who we got all really excited about, right. like Smith plays more snaps, he runs more routes, he gets more targets. Like that's the guy for the New Orleans wide receivers. And yeah, he's a guy who, again, you're right, because I think Yates really, I think it was because in the preseason, right? When we found out about Michael Thomas and we were like, Traquan Smith. And then he was injured and then it was just nothing. We were like, all right, well, I guess it's not again. I guess we're disappointed again. But really, you're right, kind of under the radar. Yeah, it's a really good point.
Yeah, I think Traquan had more time in the preseason where we could see him. And instead, everybody was talking about Marquez Callaway,
yep.
you know, having big catches and all those highlight reel moments. That's something that maybe looking back, kind of skewed our view a little bit, maybe negatively on Traquan. Shouldn't be. He wasn't out there to compete. I mean, we're not out there to compete. That's tough. But this is another dude. I think of all these guys on the waiver wire there, you can make a case for him, I think, as the season goes on. I'll tell you what, I'll make a case right now that I think Traquan Smith rest of the season might be more useful than Robbie Anderson. And I don't think that's a hot take. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's a hot take at all with the way these offenses are running currently. Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Kraken. Guys, are you interested in investing in cryptocurrencies but aren't sure where to get started? Check out Kraken on the App Store. With Kraken, you can buy and sell over 50 of the most popular cryptos like Bitcoin, Dogecoin, and Ethereum on the go 24/7. It's simple and easy to get started. Just download the app, create your account, and you'll be investing in minutes. One of the coolest things about buying crypto through Kraken is they don't need a lot of money to get started to try it out. So even if Bitcoin is worth something like $40,000, you can buy just as little as $10 worth on Kraken just to get your feet wet. Find out for yourself why Kraken has been one of the highest rated places to buy crypto for the last 10 years. Visit Kraken.com/fantasypros. Again, that's Kraken.com/fantasypros now. And you can learn more or search for Kraken in the App Store. And now back to the action. I want to bring up a piece right now before we go through Dan's grouping, because the guy's on a bye this week. But Rondell Moore had 11 receptions on 11 targets. And I understand it wasn't Kyler Murray. I get that.
For 51 yards.
No, I understand. I totally understand. Look, we just had the same conversation about Rex Burkhead. So let's call Rondell Moore the Rex Burkhead of wide receivers this week. But volume is king. We always talk about that, right? An opportunity. If this volume continues with a much upgraded quarterback situation after the bye with Kyler Murray, eventually, when you're looking ahead, you've got Detroit, Indianapolis, and Dallas for that playoff schedule for Rondell Moore. Dan, is there any juice here with throwing a couple bucks on Rondell Moore and just stashing him right now to see what happens through the bye if you can afford to do it?
I mean, given the other options, I don't really have a problem with it. Anybody who gets 11 targets, even if it's Yates, the Debo Samuel A-dot going on here, it's worth a look, Joe. And it was a fair point. You're right. He's on a bye, so it's very tough. But obviously, when you think about, you know, this game in particular, like, it's Colt McCoy and there's no DeAndre Hopkins.
Yep. So and when is DeAndre Hopkins like that? That when is he back? When and if is he just hurt all year? Does somebody else have to step up into that void? We have to start asking ourselves that.
It's just really tough. I was a huge Moore proponent. I said we should draft him, see if this works out. Looked like it was going to be something in the beginning of the season, then just kind of
fell
off
the table.
You look
like you were super correct throughout the first 2 weeks.
Right? That's why you have to take the victory laps immediately before everything goes to heck. It looked great on that, and then he's been basically useless. And look, the bottom line is this. Christian Kirk has been very solid all year. AJ Green, when he's been healthy, has been pretty solid. Moore's playing like half the snaps. It's just really difficult, unless they were going to undergo a full sea change of offense, to see Moore being a guy who's anything more than I need a total Hail Mary. I've got no basis for it. I'm just throwing a dart. Let's hope it hits. Other than that, I can't. So look, nobody that we're talking about right now, Joe, is somebody who's great and that I'm excited about. So you want it more. Maybe there's an injury to another wide receiver, maybe something, maybe they make an effort to get him more involved as we get going. But as of how things stand right now, the 11 catches on 11 targets for 51 yards is not moving the needle for me.
All right, we've hit on Crowder, MVS, Van Jefferson, Traquan Smith. We've hit on Westbrook Akinye. We've hit on Kendrick Bourne, kind of, sort of. I know, Yates, you just mentioned him. Him and Aguilar are very difficult. It's like one of those guys gets a touchdown, they become the useful guy. Right. I like what I've seen out of Bourne, though, as Mac Jones has been a little bit more confident throwing the football downfield a little bit more aggressively, but he doesn't get more than four targets a game, basically. So let's have the Cedric Wilson conversation. Let's just have it now and have it out. I know you don't want to talk about it, Yates, but let's just bring it up here and see what happens, because he's also a guy from time to time will get a carry, and sometimes in some of these little trick plays and things they like to run. Is Cedric Wilson somebody for you that you think, because of the circumstance, is startable this week? Like, could you make a case for Cedric Wilson because no Cooper, because no CD Lamb, coming away with a touchdown? We all look at ourselves and go, well, look at that. There's a Cedric Wilson touchdown. Because if he does that, he's probably going to finish somewhere around wide receiver 36, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, you look at Cedric Wilson and where am I going to rank him? Where am I going to rank him this next week? And it's like, he's going to be out like around wide receiver 50 for me. And so you look at like Traquan Smith, I might even have him above. Like Robbie Anderson, I'll have him above. Jamison Crowder, I'll have him above. Like, it's viewing him that way, because you look at the Dallas offense, and Dallas's offense looked broken yesterday. Like, it just did not look good. And you have to wonder, okay, Dallas's offense, I don't know if we can view them as this high-powered offense when you don't have Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb and Zeke going out. You certainly help hurt that, right? So is this as high-powered of an offense? It's not like we're taking the next guy up here as a wide receiver who did struggle with drops and just plugging him into a very, very high-powered offense. It might just be saying, we got a wide receiver who struggles with drops, and in an offense that might not do a ton. You know, that's kind of the way that I'm viewing it, is Cedric Wilson, you're playing him, you can play him because you are absolutely desperate for an option, but I'm not viewing him as a rock solid option because Dallas's offense struggled when it doesn't have the other key pieces that make it high powered.
All right, Dan, any thoughts on Cedric Wilson just as we kind of turn the page here from wide receiver to the next spot?
I do think that I'm going to rank him higher than Yates said. Like, I think he'll be one of my more higher ranked guys from the guys available on this list, behind Van Jefferson, certainly. But look, Michael Gallup and Dalton Schultz and the running backs, it's not going to be enough. There's going to be another option here. Dallas is not going to, you know, wildly change its offensive philosophy in the couple of days that they have before Thanksgiving. And P.S. Joe, we talk about Jerry Jones a little bit. Like, Jerry Jones is not going to be like, give me a grind it out sort of, you know, game here on Thanksgiving on stuff. Like, they're going to pass the ball. And look, Wilson, he got seven targets. Like, you know, I mean, that's something that's valuable. So for me, my guess is I'll have him ranked inside flex consideration, and I can see a path where fantasy managers need to start him. And I'm not going to be all that pessimistic about him if he's like the second wide receiver in this offense who's probably going to be out there for pretty much every snap. So, you know, short-term play, I'm willing to take the leap of faith here. And by leap of faith, I mean very minimal.
By $2.
Right, yes.
Potentially $3.
Right. I think I'm a little more optimistic on what we would see from him this week than Yates is.
One more thing here. I know, as I said, Wilson was going to be the last one. I lied. So would you be interested in a player who finishes wide receiver 8.5-point PPR this past week, who caught 4 of his 8 balls thrown at him for 104 yards and a touchdown? Dan, would you be interested in this player if I told you he had Detroit this week?
Sure.
So you're interested in
Marquise Goodwin? I'm not thinking about Marquise Goodwin.
I just want to ask the question. Well, look, Allen Robinson's health in question. I don't know if we're going to get Justin Fields or not.
I really don't think we are.
I don't think we are.
I don't think we are either. So all of those things being equal, do we look at a scenario where Andy Dalton, Yates can make Goodwin useful in a short term here, where we're talking about all these guys? Meanwhile, there's a guy sitting out there who finished as a wide receiver 1. Yes, it was a big play. Yes, it was a touchdown, all that stuff. But once again, I mean, Andy Dalton is, you know, like quarterback we talk about sometimes, is guys who are just okay at quarterback. They're not great. They don't move the needle, but they're capable. They're veteran quarterbacks. Does Goodwin even show up on your radar this week on the wire?
14-team league, 16-team league, okay. Sure. But, you know, that is, I've got him at the bottom of my list. You know, I've got him at wide receiver 16, one spot behind Cedric Wilson, to be clear. You're playing him because you're absolutely desperate in a deep league. That's it.
All right, let's get to the thing that Dan cannot wait to talk about. Let's talk about the quarterback position. Dan Harris, who is the quarterback this week that you want to pick up that you're excited about streaming this week?
Nobody. Unfortunately, there is nobody who is there. You know, the guys who are widely available right now, we're looking at Daniel Jones, Mac Jones, and Trevor Lawrence. Like the guys who are available in like
Mr. Jones and me.
Yeah, Mr. Jones and me are going to be partying this weekend. I can tell you that because that's all I've got. We have not seen tonight's game, of course. So we don't know what it's going to look like right now with Saquon Barkley hopefully back. Sounds like he's going to play. And of course, Kadarius Toney fully healthy. Kenny Galladay is back. The only guy who's not there is Sterling Shepard. And at this point, given the lack of anything we've heard about him and the lack of practice, I probably wouldn't expect him next week. If he does, that might make Jones kind of interesting in against the team in the Eagles that are putting up points now and are putting teams in negative game scripts, half the time at this point. So it is something where I guess if I had to go somewhere, Daniel Jones, who is not available in the league where I have Ryan Daniel, nor is Mac Jones even, like, this is where we are at this point. Mac Jones, by the way, is somebody who, man, if I don't know if he would be as effective if they let him go, Joe, right? Like, I think the reason that he works so well is because they limit his pass attempts. They run the ball so much, everything like that. But he looks highly competent right now. And if he's going up, you know, against Tennessee in a game that they're favored by and are going to win, he might be slightly intriguing. But if I have to go somewhere, it is Daniel Jones for just the rushing floor that he kind of provides and the potential for what the Giants offense could look like if the weapons are healthy.
I would agree. I think it's Daniel Jones potentially. Like, I want to see what happens tonight against the Bucs, obviously, but still, I think Mac Jones is viable if you're in a desperate spot here and there's really nothing else. Like, I'm looking at the Andy Daltons of the world and things like that. I think I'd rather try it with Mac Jones. Yates, how about for you when you look at quarterback this week? Who is that guy?
Yeah, Daniel Jones is at the top of the list for the same reasons Dan mentioned. I think Andy Dalton is interesting if you are absolutely desperate. Just based on the matchup up against Detroit, I think he can get enough done. And if you wanted to add some spice to your Thanksgiving Day plans, you get to watch Andy Dalton on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, the red rifle.
Yeah,
is good.
Yep, you need that. I think you look at Daniel Jones as a top option, Mac Jones behind him. But I mean, Mac Jones was damn near perfect in week 11 from a passer perspective. I mean, 22 for 26 looked great, and it led to 11 fantasy points. You know, it's just without the rushing ability, that's just where we're at with Mac Jones. So he can execute the offense very, very well in New England. You got to give him that. But from a fantasy perspective, he's not doing enough. So looking up against Tennessee, and then Trevor Lawrence, man, this Jacksonville offense, I do not want to go anywhere near it. I would play Andy Dalton over Mac Jones and Trevor Lawrence this next week, assuming he is the starter.
That's fair. I really want to hear more like Daniel Jones and me kind of stuff there. I think that we're sitting on a gold mine here with that song. We got to record that. I want Yates to get in the studio and record that right now. He has no idea. Do you know who sang Mr. No. Jones, Yates? Nope. Counting Crows.
Is this true?
No, he has no idea. He's heard the song, though. He had to have heard the song somewhere in a dentist offense or something.
He's never heard it. He has no idea what we're talking about. We could be speaking a foreign language right now.
One of my favorite albums. I love that album. We're gonna be big stars. I love how he always used to say, yeah, all the time. And every single Counting Crows song, there's always that moment where he goes, yeah.
You might as well be speaking Greek right now in terms of Yates. He has no idea what you're talking about.
Gonna spend big fab. All right, let's move on to the next one here. Who do we got on the list? We've got tight ends on the list. I'm going to make Yates very happy with this one because my number one guy, I'm going to add Adam Trautman. I'm going to do it. Finally, I've come to this moment where I look at the rest of the tight ends to add, and I actually think he might be useful in this one. Secondary is very good for Buffalo. We know that. But I think it's that underneath, it's a little bit exposed sometimes for them. I think that's where Trautman might be able to have some success. So I'm not going to overthink it. That's the guy I would stream this week. Because I also can't talk about Tyler Conklin 3 weeks in a row because Dan yelled at me. So sure. Yates, who is it for you at the tight end position you want to stream this week?
Number one is Logan Thomas, assuming that he is going to be coming back. But we do not know. We have the Monday night game, so no clue here. So Logan Thomas, the number one option for me. You have Tyler Conklin at number two, and then Adam Trautman at number three. All these guys are just kind of like, yeah, you can add him if you need to. Adam Trautman is at least intriguing, and especially, too, you look at New Orleans. They were playing from behind for the majority of that fourth quarter, too, which led to a ton of pass attempts. But With Troutman and the game script for Buffalo, you're going to kind of assume, maybe, who knows what Buffalo is doing at this point. So you assume that Buffalo is going to play with a big lead. New Orleans is going to have to play from behind and throw. Then that leads to production for Adam Troutman. So he's worth picking up, worth plugging in if you're desperate, but I'm not looking at him as a rock solid option necessarily.
Dan, I bet there were a lot of teams this year that drafted Logan Thomas and Will Fuller and thought, these are really good values I got. My goodness, waiting for these guys to get back on the field has been just maddening this year. I can't even fathom it. At the tight end position, Dan, I know you're Mr. Logan Thomas. Are you done, or are you still got some more room left for him?
I mean, are we going to see him ever?
I mean, I feel like every week is like, this is going to be the week, and then it never happens.
Ever. It does not sound like he was particularly close to playing this week, so I assume he's not going to be particularly close to playing next week, and at some point we're going to hit the fantasy playoffs, and I'm going to be waiting on Logan Thomas, and it's just not going to go well. So I will say this. I don't know about you guys, but I do feel like, other than the fact that like a guy like Dan Arnold, who I'd put in the, like, I think you're safe right now, Dan Arnold, yay, way to go, get zero targets. Mm-hmm. I do think that the tight end landscape from like 10 to like 16, pretty decent. Like, you've got guys who pop off pretty much there. Mm-hmm. I mean, Dawson Knox was sort of down there, Zach Ertz, guys do it. So I don't really think any of these guys crack that list, which is why like a tight end overall in priority, not huge. But if it was a guy, it would be Troutman, who has been getting like pretty steady targets at this point coming in. You know, putting up productive numbers for a tight end. So he would be the guy, very low priority, of course. Then Tyler Conklin, who again, Joe, I know, just to support you, but regardless, then Logan Thomas, just because if I knew Thomas were healthy, Thomas would go to the top of the list, but I don't expect him this week.
All right. Let's continue on here with our top ads of the week that we want to go through, our 1 through 5. I've reordered mine since we've been talking because I like to hear other smart people and Dan Harris talk about stuff as well.
Too mean.
And I actually think I've moved the Bears up into my top five, Dan. You really?
Yeah, I did too. After talking about it, I actually did too.
So you love you some you at the end of the day. You really?
Yeah, I make really good points sometimes, and then I listen to myself and I just follow the advice.
That's actually exactly what Dan's review of himself this year for the company is. It's like, I make really good points for myself, and I think this should be rewarded. Yeah, my top five are Jameson Crowder, number one. I moved the Bears up to number two. MVS, if he actually catches the football, is my 3. Van Jefferson's my 4. Adam Troutman is my 5. That's it. I do have my eye on Quadre Allison, as I said. I'm just going to throw that out there. I might be 100% wrong on this. But if I'm right, who knows? It might be a viable running back at some point for this Falcons team because they don't have one. Something has to change. And if nothing else, it's time to start evaluating what else is on the roster here so you know what's happening for next year, because I think it's time. Yates, let's go to you next. Who are your top 5 waiver wire pickups for week 12 in the NFL?
Yep, I've got MVS at number 1, Ty Johnson at number 2, Robbie Anderson at 3, Jameson Crowder at 4, and Van Jefferson at 5. And then the Chicago Bears defense, a little bit lower, but definitely a viable option if you are in need of a defense for next week.
I haven't had a defense crack my top 5 all year to add. Dan Harris, you did it, buddy. I'm so proud of you.
That was my goal coming in. I will say that my record on this, like, hey, this is the one defense that you should really go after and do, pretty solid on like the 3 to 4 fantasy point range, guys. So get in on that. Apologies for Thanksgiving. But I've also, Joe, like you, moved the Bears into my top 5 because that's what it says about this week. I do have Johnson number 1, Ty Johnson. Van Jefferson still for me is number 2. I'm a little surprised you guys hate him so much, but that's fine. Cedric Wilson, most unstoppable player in the NFL at number 3. Bears all the way up to number 4. Let's go. And then there's nobody else I really want to add, but I will add Latavius Murray for the okay deep flex high-end insurance policy one as number 5. But man, I'm sorry, guys. I know, like, we've been saying,
how
like,
did
man,
we do an research. Hour-long podcast on this?
Well, we ain't done yet.
I talked for 95.
Oh, it's Dan. That's right.
Kickers, Joe? What about all our kickers?
I'm not even going to ask about who the streaming defense is because we all agree, I think, the Bears. So go ahead, Dan. Who's your favorite kicker pickup of the week?
I'm so excited about kickers right now. P.S. My entire fantasy season hangs on Ryan Suckup this week. So let's go with that. I've got Michael Badgley as number 1, assuming that I haven't heard anything about Rodrigo Blankenship coming back, but against the Bucks indoors, I like that. I think there's going to be ball movement without perhaps some touchdowns. Robbie Gould has been solid against Minnesota, both of that. And I think you can look Jason Sanders way again against Carolina. All these guys, I think, are capable of putting up kicker 1 production.
Yeah, Badgley's that guy for me. I'm always looking for offenses that might have to settle for threes against respective defenses. Yates, is that your guy?
Yep, and he's been perfect in Indianapolis since he came over. So,
yep.
Just like me, since I got to Fantasy Pros.
Well.
Perfect. Oh. Wow. Nice. Thanksgiving. The time we're all supposed to be nicer to each other. This is what happens. I kid. I love you all. All right, quick lightning round. Keep or drop?
Keep or drop?
Let's start with a guy here, 40% rostered. Keep or drop Sterling Shepard, Dan Harris?
I would like to keep him if I can, just because I think he's going to be a guy who you can start weekly once he comes back. I'll try to hold him.
Yates, keep or drop Sterling Shepard?
Same thing. I'm not dropping him for any of the players on this list.
All right, Brandon Bolden, 37% rostered. Yates, keep or drop?
I will drop Brandon Bolden.
How about you there, Dan Harris?
How many Patriots running backs can we roster at this point? Let's drop them. Drop them.
Ramondre Stevenson and Damien Harris. That's it.
Keep those guys. Keep those guys.
I would want. I don't know about you, man. I want both those guys on my rosters. I don't have nearly as many shares as I want as Stevenson. Sure. I can tell you that. All right, let's go to another one here. Let's go to David Johnson, 34% rostered. Dan Harris, keep or drop?
Drop. I don't want any Texans running back, certainly not the second in the pecking order right now, so I'm out.
Yates, same thing.
Hey, if you're good with 13 carries for 18 yards, you can keep him. Otherwise, drop him.
Russell Gage, Yates, keep or drop, 31% roster.
I think he's fine to keep for right now, but that is, again, I've got Russell Gage at 10 on my waiver wire list for this week, so I think you're fine holding on to him.
Dan, Russell Gage, last one.
I you don't have to hold him, but I did have him, I think it's 6 or 7, and we didn't talk about him all on this week. You can add him, but I have no problem. I would swap him out for any of the top 5 wide receivers that we talked about, so I guess that's a drop.
There you have it. All right, I want to remind everybody, don't forget about our giveaway at fantasypros.com/contest. That Chris Godwin autographed jersey can be yours, and all you have to do is head over to youtube.com and subscribe to the YouTube channel of Fantasy Pros. Amazing live streams. This past week, you missed on the live stream, potentially, me showing childhood photos of myself. Mm-hmm. It was a hoot, and we answered your questions. We also got every podcast over there as well on our YouTube channel, and amazing other content there that we've got. I think Yates is starting a musical review show, which would be really good. It's gonna be really cool, where we let Yates listen to albums like those kids who've never heard AC/DC for the first time. We should totally do that as a thing over in the off season, where Yates listens to songs of our youth and high school time, and we get his live reaction. Who knows where it's all going, but if you want to be there for the journey, please go to youtube.com/fantasypros and subscribe. Take that screenshot and go ahead and go to the fantasypros.com/contest to get involved in that Chris Godwin giveaway. And don't forget, if you need extra help, and you might this week with the waiver wire, the waiver assistant is there for you at fantasypros.com/myplaybook, as it always is. I want to thank the sponsors of today's show, including TickPick. Head over to tickpick.com/pros. That's TickPick.com/pros. They're giving away 5 season ticket packages right now for the 2022 NFL season. So get on that. Also, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use the promo code FantasyPros. Bet just $5 on any team to win their game, and you win $200 in free bets if they win. Again, head over to DK right now and download that DraftKings Sportsbook app. And don't forget about Kraken. Kraken.com/fantasypros to learn more about how you can start investing in cryptocurrency today. Again, that's Kraken.com/fantasypros. That'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. For Dan Harris and Kyle Yates, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.